One and all, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God willing, next Lord's Day, we can use the lift again. The topic, earthly before the heavenly. I know the text in 1 Corinthians 15 used the word earthy. There is a difference between earthly. Earthly means everything that is found on this earth. The word earthy is more specific than the word earthly. But because I would like to balance the heavenly, that's why I chose the word earthly. But to be more precise, it should be earthy before the heavenly, as you can see from the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46 to verse 50 for our consideration. Another word for earthy is the word dusty. Literally, it means of the ground, of the dust, of the ground, of the soil. That's the meaning of earthy. Earthy or earthly before the heavenly. And that means, how is your life? Do you thank God for the life that you're living on this earth? How is your witness for Christ in Singapore? I'd like to read to you a testimony by a Korean missionary, a lady graduated from FEBC, now serving the Lord in BCEA in Nairobi, Kenya. This letter was received by some of us who are on her mailing list. This is a small portion of her testimony concerning what she had experienced as she served the Lord. The very last day of October was the beginning of the national exam for primary level. Three children of the Junior Youth Fellowship of the campus church did the exam. Last Sunday, when I asked them how they had performed in the exam, they gave me a smile. One of the three, a dark, short girl I knew since the time I joined the Bible College of East Africa, has been coming to Sunday school with her younger siblings, walking quite a distance every Sunday from home to church. Due to poor nutrition and poor health, she had already lost two younger brothers. She helps with house chores like washing clothes and cleaning houses before her mother, because her mother is physically weak. If the mother is away in the hospital or for any other reason, this girl is the one who takes care of her younger siblings from A to Z at home. And then she goes to school. It has been so since I met her for the first time. Yet she is a cheerful and bright girl. I hope that she performed well in the exam so that she can continue with secondary school. That means she's only in primary school. Assuming she will be primary six, like our system, she'll be only 12 years old. But this was her life, or is her life. Mother is sick, probably the oldest. Two younger brothers have passed away. And now she is entrusted to look after the family and to study at the same time and to walk every Lord's Day to Sunday school, because obviously they have no cars, can't even afford to take any public transport. And if you had been to Nairobi, you know the public transport is atrocious. I hope that she performed well. I have another girl who will do the exam of secondary level soon. She is from a family whose father was a slow learner and her mother is disabled in her leg. This is a second testimony. They formed a family and settled down in a slum near the Bible College. This family attended the campus church and sent their children to fellowship in the church for many years now. The girl is healthy, capable, and responsible. I know she would do well in her exam because she has been doing well all this time. Parents are poor, but their concern for their children makes a difference. How do I know? It is observable in the church. I have learned about the parents' role in terms of the schooling of their children. Most of the time, children will be guided well with much parental attention. Nowadays, when I encounter a case of a child with financial problems in schooling, I notice the child's willingness and at the same time that of his or her parents and family, because they have no money, schooling today just to go to school. And we're not talking about any of the good schools, just to go to school, even it is the worst school in the whole of Nairobi. It was a privilege. It was an honor and a privilege for them. Since last term, about five or six children, in fact, they were too big to be called children, joined the Junior Youth Fellowship on Sunday. Some of them attended Sunday school, then disappeared for years. When they came back for the junior youth fellowship, they had grown up in their looks and were so curt in their speech. If I had not known them when they were young, I would probably have felt afraid talking to them. Only a few weeks ago, I found out that they could not continue with secondary school due to financial problems, and some of them began working in the fields to support their families. Three testimonies of Christians in different parts of the world struggling. And so the question is asked again, how is your life? How is our lives in Singapore? How is your Christian witness and testimony for Christ in Singapore? What I've shared with you, they are real events of young children, primary school, secondary school, and teenagers. Three different age groups, three different levels. All of them living in the same vicinity, and these belong to those who want to know Christ, who want to come to church, who want to go to school. But very often, it is accompanied by many, many unthinkable struggles. So much so, that when you compare our struggles here with theirs, it's a completely different world. For us, we choose which school we want our children to go to. In their case, they just choose to go to school. Not which school, any school, just to go to school. And even that, the parents could not afford. And they have to struggle. And that poor primary school girl had to take care of her siblings when the mother is ill. And she had to be the parent to the siblings, as well as to herself. And wherever she went, it is on foot. And some parts of Nairobi is so dangerous that we have been told, never, never set foot in that part. Especially, do not go out at night. You'll probably not return home. This is their life in that part of the world. But they desire to come to church. They did not care about the inconvenience and the difficulty. If they have to walk, they walk. If they have to struggle, they struggle. But to be able to do many of these things that you and I take for granted, the ease and comfort that we have in simply coming to church, traveling from point A to point B, we don't think about whether we have food on the table. We usually think about what kind of food we would like to eat. And very often, even if we have food, we complain and we murmur and we do not like the menu. We are very much like the Israelites in the wilderness. Complain about this earthly life that God has chosen for us before we arrive home in heaven. This is the topic. This is how God wants us to go through before we arrive home in heaven. The question the Apostle Paul posed in verse 46 is this. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual. Why did God not give us the spiritual body first, but the earthy body, the body that is made out of the dust of this ground, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual? Why is that the case? Well, this is the human order of life, the human sequence. Isn't that true? Thank God for this life, in other words. If you are not born, you will never be given the privilege of knowing Christ and enter heaven. The mere fact that we are born and we exist is the norm for everyone. The question is, now that you are on this earth, do you murmur and complain about the earthly life that you have, even in Christ? God has a reason, God has a purpose for the day you are born and where you are born and who your parents are. It is in the will of a sovereign God who has designed you and allowed you to be born in a particular century with all our weaknesses and strength, with all our talents and gifts, with everything about us. Some things we call positive, some things we call negative. Whatever it is, thank God for life. First, physical. Because of our physical life, our life here on earth, we thank God that during this sojourn on this earth, God has found us and met with us and gave us the truth. Do not think and compare that the lives of these three young persons in Nairobi, that it is miserable because we are physically more comfortable. They may be struggling physically, but you do not know how strong and real their spiritual life in Christ is. And if it requires that kind of material, physical suffering to help them experience the kind of spiritual blessing that they enjoy, isn't it better for us to go that route too? Because the spiritual blessing is far more precious and priceless than the material. If you do not see this and understand this, you and I will never stop murmuring and complaining. Because the life of comfort has no limit. If you're comfortable with where you are right now, if you're not contented with the present day comfort, you're going to seek to the next level. And the next level, next level, and you realize that there is no limit. Because unless you are thankful and you are contented with whatever God has given to you in your life, what you and I need is poverty. Because to help us realize how far this body of ours must be detached from the attractions of the world. Because of their poverty. Even if they want to, they can't have. And that in itself is a blessing. Because they can't have it, and therefore they don't have it, and there is never anything that they have to contemplate and consider in their equation. I cannot afford to send my children overseas. Not enough money. And therefore, that is never in our consideration when we pray for our children's future. Unless the Lord open the doors and give them a scholarship. That is never in our equation. For you who can afford it, for those who are multimillionaires, you have plenty of opportunities, and so you have a host of things to consider and contemplate in your equation as you seek God's will for your children. Compared to the three young persons in Nairobi, their equation is even smaller, shorter, because what is open to them as they present it to the Lord is far, far fewer than ours. Any one of us, I'm sure. Perhaps that's what we need. Too many opportunities, too many carnal decisions are before us. And very often when we are unwise, and we are not close to the Lord, we make wrong decisions. We make wrong decisions. For example, if your son or daughter did not do too well in the exams and they could not enter into university, if you can afford it, that is another equation that you have to bring in for consideration. Is it God's will? If you don't have the money, that is already out. It all boils down to the heart, isn't it? If you think that going to university is a life and death issue, that if my son, my daughter does not enter the university by hook or by crook, they must. Why? Why must it be by hook or by crook? Why is going to university so important? Is it because of your name? So that you can brag and tell your relatives, or your relatives may know that, well, the children of this family, this relative, all of them have university degrees. And that is a distinction. And that is good for your ego and your self-glory. Is that the reason why? If that is the reason, then it's not for the children's well-being. It's definitely not for God's glory. It's for your own. Why must we dictate and determine so many things and ask God just to rubber stamp them? The journey to the spiritual, to the heavenly is this way. You and I have to exist. You and I have to be made out of the dust of the ground before we can experience the spiritual life that God had just described for us in the earlier verses, where the glorified body is glorious, is spiritual, it's powerful, and it is eternal. This is the glorified body that God has given to us. But the journey has to be through the earthy, this life that God has given to us. Don't murmur and complain. look at this life that we have now that it has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. This life that we have is a very important life. And it must never be measured by the possessions that you have. That's what Jesus Christ taught us and the disciples when he was on earth. We have to stop measuring this life according to the possessions that we have. If you do not stop that, it is very difficult for us to be a spiritual, holy person. The world will continue to bombard us with this yardstick of measurement. They never stop. You and I must take a step back and stop measuring yourself based upon the size of your bank account, based upon the kind of car you drive, based upon the kind of garments you wear, whether it is branded goods or not. Stop measuring yourself based upon any of the standards of the world, whether you have university education, and if it's a university education, what kind of profession, what kind of degrees you have, and after that you have the postgraduate. There is no end. There is no end to it. This journey to the heavenly must be by way of this earthly. No other way. But the question is, how are we doing the journey? How are we living the earthly life, the earthly life? That is the key. That is the crucial question. That's why the conclusion of this chapter is, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the conclusion. And that is the conclusion that you and I must take stock and bear in mind. And you can't do that if you are never contented with the life that you have in Christ on this earth, in this earthen vessel, the earthy. You'll never be. And you will keep on desiring to have more and more of this earth, where your motive and your focus will be called wood, hay, and stubble by God. And it will all be destroyed and burnt up. And the worst part is, you call yourself a Christian, and you present a picture of a carnal Christ, a false Christ, to the people around you. You know the difference between a false Christ and an antichrist, right? An antichrist is a person who attacks the Bible, who attacks the doctrines of the Bible. A person who says the Bible has mistakes, that's an antichrist. A false Christ is a person who called himself a Christian, but does not live the life of a Christian, and therefore he presents a false Christ. That is a false Christ. And that means there are more false Christs than antichrists today. Because there are so many people who call themselves Christians, but how many of them truly present the Christ of the Bible? The Christ of the Bible is a holy, pure, loving, godly, compassionate, spiritual Son of God and the Son of Man. Not carnal. That's why the Bible teaches us godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you believe in this? Do you experience this in your heart, in your life? The world will not stop, remember this, pulling us in the direction of carnality, where this earthly life will always be measured by the possessions that we have. It will not stop, because this is the God of the world agenda, Satan. This is how he has lured many millions and billions of people to hell. You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are supposed to have our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open, whereby we stop measuring this earthly life that we have. It is the life that we all need to go through before we arrive in the heavenly. And this life is in the hand of our loving Heavenly Father. And whatever our Heavenly Father gives to us, we accept it. Whether we are born in Singapore or in Nairobi, does not matter. Never measure yourself by the standard of the world. You think the three young persons are poor? They are not poor. If they are spiritual and they are close to God, and they have a strong desire for spiritual things. They did not let the inconvenience of walking a long distance to go to church on Sunday school for the primary school girl, the first testimony. It did not stop her. What has stopped us from serving God, from coming to church for worship? What has stopped us? So little things, small little things can just suddenly stop us from coming to church, from coming for Bible study, for coming for prayer meeting, for coming for things spiritual. They don't have much in terms of material, but they have much in terms of spiritual because of who they are in Christ, because of the passion, the desires they have for Christ. What about us from earth before heaven? This is the route for everyone. The question is this your journey? And if this is your journey, don't murmur. Be thankful. Whatever state and condition that you are in, know that you are a child of God. Know that you are the disciple of Christ. Thank God for the way that God has made you. Thank God for the way that God has equipped you. Thank God for everything the Lord has blessed you with, including our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Because of them, do you realize that the more shortcomings, the more weaknesses you have, the less self-confidence you have? And self-confidence is an enemy of God confidence. The more self-confidence you have, the less you pray. The more self-confidence you have, the farther you draw away from God. The person who has zero confidence is a person who will never stop praying. It's a person who will continue to lean on God. A person who has the idea that education is the way to success. You think he will pray? He will go for exams, degrees after degrees after degrees, because to him, this is his God. This is his golden calf. To those who think that more material things I have, the less problems, the fewer problems I have, the more I can live a successful life. And so these people will see materialism as their golden calf. And they will not pray unless their God is in trouble. When they cannot study, oh, they pray. Once they get their degrees and degrees and degrees, they don't pray. They don't thank God. When they are stuck getting their gods, when you don't have your job because your money God is in trouble, and then you pray. After you get your money God back, you forget God. Who do you think God is? You think that kind of life is Christianity? You think that is what Christ is, and that is the Christ you have presented to your colleagues in the school as well as in your workplace? God is sad when we keep on murmuring and complaining about the life that we have on earth. Know that this is the life for everyone before we arrive home. Our lives have intertwined because we are found in this part of the world. In the case of those children, the Korean lady, graduate from FEBC, the Lord called her to go there, and so her life now intertwined with the lives of these children. And she loved it there. We know her, a very nice young lady, single, not married. But as long as she's doing God's will, every part of her life, she commits it to the Lord, whether it is the Lord's will for her to be married or not, committed to the Lord. But that's where she has been called by God to serve. And so now her life intertwined with theirs. Her life intertwined with us for a brief moment in time when she studied in FEBC. Your life intertwined with the lives of the people around you. Now as they intersect, what kind of impression do you leave behind as we fellowship? What kind? That's why the question is, what is your life? How is your life? Do you thank God for your life? Or do you keep on murmuring and complaining about your life? Oh, I wish I'm this. I wish I'm that. Oh, I wish I'm more of this. I wish I'm more of that. Never contented, never satisfied. This is the route that God has for each and every one of us. And God makes no mistakes. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God for your children. In whatever state and condition and health, thank God for each and every moment of your life. God has decided that this is the life that I want for you before you arrive home in heaven. The earthly before the heavenly. If you do not see this and realize this and understand this and accept this, you will complain and murmur to no end. And what will you leave behind? A legacy of murmuring and complaining. This person, that person, every time we remember him or her, it is only complaint and murmur. Not a word of thanksgiving, not a word of encouragement, not a word of praising the Lord for his life. very sad. This is the journey. There's no other option. Did God give birth to us through our parents' spiritual? No. Everyone must go through this same route, the human sequence. Isn't that what it's called? The human sequence. For everyone, no exception. Thank God that during this time on earth, you have found Christ, or Christ has found you. And now that you know your life is special in Christ, live it for Christ as the abundant life that is not measured by the abundance of the possessions that you have. But it is abundant because of your intimate, personal, spiritual relationship that you have with God Almighty, who has given you the privilege to call Him Abba, Father. That is the life. And that is the life that you and I must be grateful and be thankful to God for. God gave us now, from verse 47 to verse 49, the divine reason and logic. Look at the explanation. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. This describes our constitution, right? Our constitution. First man, of course, is Adam. God made him out of the earth, the dust of the ground. That's the meaning of the word earthy, out of dust, this body of ours. Know this. It's not meant to be eternal. Take care of it well. For ministry and for service. Don't take care of it for gain and for personal glory and pride. Take care of it so that you can be more effective to God in service. By all means, take care. For that purpose, nothing wrong with that. But the second man, that is Christ, that is the Lord, he came from heaven. His constitution is heavenly, even though he took on the form of man to become a man to die for us. But he came from heaven, and therefore everyone in Christ will now receive that which is heavenly. That's what it means to become a Christian. Because now that you are in Christ, and since Christ came from heaven, you will now be given the constitution of a body that will be heavenly, because you are now in Christ. That's what it means. This is divine logic. This is God's reason and explanation to help us to enjoy and to thank God for the life that you have on this earth that must never be measured by the abundance of the possessions that you have. Because you are now in Christ. That's what it means to pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, to have all your sins forgiven, to have the bondage of sin broken, to have the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, eternally removed from your life. You are now in Christ, and since Christ came from heaven, you will be found in heaven, and you will go to heaven. Because Christ came from heaven, and you are in Christ, and just as He returns to heaven, so will you and I. You and I will not be called return from heaven, because return means you came from there. In our case, we will go to heaven. We will enter heaven. You can use all these different verbs. It's our home. This is now our journey. As a stranger and a sojourner on this earth, in this earthy vessel, which is the human sequence for every human being before we arrive home in heaven. And the first logical divine argument, we came from the first Adam. Now Christ is the second man, the second Adam. He came from heaven, and you are in Christ. You are going to heaven. That gave us a new perspective of our life on earth. Does it not? It should. When you think of your earthly life, know that at the end of this time on earth, what awaits you is heaven. You realize that? Heaven. And that will give you a completely new perspective of whatever suffering or difficulty you're going through and you're experiencing on this earth. Heaven is your home, where everything will be restored, everything will be perfect. You suffered a stroke. Part of your body is now not usable. In heaven, everything will be repaired perfectly. You can't see very clearly, you will be given perfect sight forever. Every part, it will be restored to what God has described. Glorious, powerful, spiritual, eternal. That's ours. This is a secret, because you're in Christ. Christ came from heaven. And you are going back to heaven because you are in Him. The second argument, verse 48. The first is the constitution. What are you made of? Earthly. And that's why we are made of earth. This dusty body, full of dust. In Christ, full of heaven. Verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. This is where you are going to. This is what we talk about. The source, first Adam, earthly. The source, second Adam, heavenly, of the heaven. And therefore, the constitution, the material, same. That's who you are. Right now, you have this dusty, earthy body. One day, it will be the heavenly material, this body of ours. And nothing on earth can take that away from you. Not the devil, not any human being, absolutely nothing. Not any sickness, not any disease, absolutely nothing. This body in all its frailty will be transformed, will be glorious, will be powerful, strong, eternal. And it awaits you, it's guaranteed. It is yours. How do we know that? Well, let's look at the third sequence first, the third logic first, before we look at the inheritance in verse 50. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Right, you see? The source, Christ. The material, Christ, heavenly. Finally, the image, heavenly. The divine logic. Three steps. Source from Adam, earthy, material. Bear the image of man. Second source, in Christ. Christ, the source. Material, heavenly. Image, Christ. And that's why it's so important for us to bear the image of Christ. That's what we have been talking about from the very beginning. That's why it's so important for us to present to the world the Christ of the Bible. One who is holy, one who is righteous, one who is just, one who is compassionate. And to do that, you have to follow the Bible in the way that you live. You find it hard to obey some of the struggles that you have in life because of the weakness of the flesh, because of the addiction. You pray and you ask God for strength. He will give you the strength. Whatever addiction that you are suffering in, whatever things that is on this earth is controlling you. That's what addiction is. Whether it is your computer, whether it is some terrible vice or transgression in your life, your drinking, your smoking, your gambling, whatever it is, some sexual sin, whatever it is, if you are truly born again in Christ, this is the divine sequence that has already started while you are here on earth the moment you accept Christ. Because you're already in Christ. Finally, ultimately, in the glorified body, you will fully bear the image of Christ in its full manifestation. But until then, they can still see Christ in your life in terms of your conduct and your behavior, in terms of your language and your speech and your words, in terms of your action, showing love, turning the other cheek, caring for the other person's well-being, doing what is right according to the Bible, not situational ethics. That has to stop. The situational ethics must stop. Because as long as you do not stop this, you will continue to transgress and malign and defile the image of Christ. You know what is situational ethics? You look at the person's face, you look at the person's age, you look at the person's constitution, and then you make your judgment. You don't do that. The Bible says, thou shalt not respect faces in judgment, thou shalt judge both the great and the small, because your judgment is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 1:17. Now that must be the way that we judge and evaluate people all the days of our life, because we must bear the image of Christ. One day it will be manifested. People will see us for who we truly are. They can't tell. You know who you truly are in Christ. You know you are a child of God. You know you bear the image of Christ because the Spirit of God convicts you and tells you so. You know that. And if you do not do it, please go back to square one and cry to God with all your heart and be saved. Because a person who is born again has the mind of Christ. He cannot help himself, because with the mind of Christ, he will think like Christ and for the glory of Christ. And because he has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost immediately at the point of salvation, he is now motivated by this love, which is unconditional and sacrificial. He will always do what is right and what is best for the other party, regardless of the other party's conduct and behavior and response. If the person betrays you, you continue to love and do what is right and what is good. If the person attacks you and maligns you and scolds you and spit in your face, you still do what is right and what is good for him in Christ. Because that's what it is. That's our motive. They don't have to say thank you, but you still want to do what is right. They don't have to appreciate, they don't have to recognize and remember you. It does not matter. You still do what is right. You don't stop because the love of God will continue to propel you in that direction. Just as the same love sent Jesus Christ by God the Father onto this earth to die for you and me. You do the same. Give your life for Christ in blessing other people, regardless of how they react and respond, whether they say thank you, whether they give anything back, it does not matter. You do it because this is the right thing to do. This is what Christ would do. And this is what all Christians must do. And we do it for God's glory. We want people to see only Christ in us. Because that's the image of the heavenly. Isn't that true? 49? You see that? That's what you see. And that will be 100% manifested in the glorified body. Because that is our inheritance. You know what's an inheritance, right? You like inheritance? Well, this inheritance is given to us by God. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot, no power to inherit the kingdom of God, but you and I can in Christ. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Our inheritance awaits us. And as long as we remain in this earthen vessel, we will never inherit the heavenly, be found in heaven. That's why the glorified body is guaranteed. That's why the glorified body is the heavenly body that is suitable for the heavenly environment, and God has given to us this truth. Before you can arrive home in heaven, brothers and sisters in Christ, children of the living God, disciples of Jesus Christ, thank God for your life on this earth. Because before the heavenly, earthy is the starting point. And during this time on earth, thank God that you have found Christ. I hope you have. And if you truly have found Christ as Lord and as Savior, prove it. Prove it by a life of holiness everywhere you go. Start at home. Honor your parents. Be diligent. Be helpful. Be sincere. Be truthful. Be honest. Be kind. Be gentle. Be loving. Be submissive. In church, be faithful. Serving the Lord with whatever the Lord lays upon your hands to do. Do it to the best of your ability for His glory. Seeking no recognition, just simply serving quietly in the stillness of heart, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with your very best. At work, don't seek after the material things. Don't be motivated by promotion and more money. That is foolishness upon foolishness. Let your motive be the love of Christ for your colleagues. Remember that before your arrival, if you are the only believer in class, in church, in your workplace, you have now brought the entrance to the kingdom of heaven to their doorsteps. Because you are there, a child of God, the image of Christ. They can now see Christ because of the way that you live and conduct yourself. Holiness. That's who you are. Don't change it for anything else. Any other motive is a poor exchange. It's a sin. It's evil. Because you call yourself a Christian. That means they expect to see the image of Christ. That means it has to be the Christ according to the Scriptures. Please keep on studying the Bible, dear friend. Please. Never stop reading and studying the Bible. Did you wake up this morning to pray? Good. But you must also read God's Word. Because when you pray, you speak to God. When you read the Bible, God speaks to you. That's why you must do this every day if you love Him. You cannot not hear His voice. If you love someone, you will never, never want to be apart from that someone. When you are so happy and contented, when you are apart from your wife, from your husband, and you are very happy, there's something wrong with the relationship. because it is out of sight, out of mind. It should be absence make your heart grow fonder. Isn't that one of the clear evidence of someone who is in love? If you really love Christ, if you really love your Heavenly Father, you do not want not to hear His voice. Absence should make your heart grow fonder for Him. And so read God's Word. Study God's Word. Take advantage of all the Bible studies and the avenues that the church has made available to you. We can only do that, make it available to you. We know we can't force you, and we don't want to force you. We don't want to entice you. We don't want to bribe you. It has to come from a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come for Bible study, no other agenda, but because you want to know the Word better, and therefore you can know your Heavenly Father better. And the more you know Him, the deeper, the stronger will your love be for Him. Because it's so hard to love someone who is a stranger, because you do not know much about that person. And that's how husbands and wives, their lives grow cold, because they stop communicating, they stop knowing each other, sharing their lives, and so they became strangers. And one day they wake up, we are strangers, and then their eyes go astray and look at somebody else. And that's where sin comes in. There is no other God in heaven except the one living and true God as revealed to us in the Scriptures. Your heart grow cold for God, the one living and true God. What do you think will happen? You're going to love someone or something else. It will be an idol. It could be your family, it could be your children, it could be your job, it could be a thing, your car, whatever it is, your ambition. And that is an idol. Obey the Word of God at all costs. No human relationship must ever stand in the way of your relationship with Christ. And that means obedience to the Word of God is paramount. Paramount. Some of you struggle with the fear if your son, your daughter marries an unbeliever. Should you or should you not attend? You struggle with that? It should be no struggle. It's an easy question. It's an easy decision. You can't attend. Because to attend means you say to your son, your daughter, I approve. You approve? He called himself a Christian and he marries an unbeliever. You approve that? But it is my son and daughter. Sure, it's your son and daughter. So you love them more than you love Christ? So who do you love more, Christ or your son? Christ or your daughter? That's plain and simple. Prove it. You attend, you approve, you condone. You're not loving them. Actually, you're hating them. You're telling your son and your daughter it's okay with mom and dad that you marry a child of the devil. That's exactly what you're doing if you attend. If you go and sign on the marriage certificate as a witness, you approve it. You can't attend. You cannot have anything to do with it. They have dinner. You don't attend. You don't approve. Plain and simple, because you love the Lord. And you can't make that decision if your love for the Lord is cold. Is not there. You get confused. It's a struggle. Why? The struggle because your love for Christ is lukewarm. If your love for Christ is burning hot, it's an easy decision. Many of these decisions we make, we say it is a struggle. The real struggle is your love for Christ. Because the closer you are to Him, the more passionate, the burning fire you have for Him in your heart, in your soul, will make many decisions on earth very straightforward and simple. Very simple. That's why the more you know the Bible, more areas of your life will be black and white. Black, you stay away. White, you do. Very simple. The less you know God's Word, the more areas of your life will be gray. You find it so hard to decide. The bottom line, your love for the Lord is not there. It's cold, it's lukewarm. Oh, it's there. If you're truly born again, but it has become very lukewarm and cold. Burn it. Let it burn again. Remember the first love. Remember what it was like. The first moment you truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. The burning sensation in your soul to experience how all the burdens have been lifted. You felt as if you're walking on air. You look at the whole world with new eyes. Remember that experience when you first accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. Pray for that to come back into your heart, into your soul, so that you will thank God for this life in whatever state and condition that God has given to you. whatever that is sinful, whatever that is harming the image of Christ, pray for strength to get rid of them so that you can come back to holiness and present the Christ who is a wonderful Savior to your children, to your family, and to your friends. So what is your life? How is it, dear friend? From earth to heaven. Are you going to heaven? It must begin with your acceptance of Christ as Lord and as Savior. And if you have, let this earthly life be the abundant life that God has promised us, which is never measured by the abundance of the possessions that you have. It is always measured by the intimate, personal, spiritual relationship that you have with your Savior, your Heavenly Father. And at the end of it, the inheritance awaits you, heaven, with a glorified body, because in Christ He came from heaven. The material will have to be heavenly, the glorified body as described in the previous verses, which is our inheritance in Christ. And therefore, we bear the image of Christ for eternity. Now, this is our final end. Does that not make the life that we live here a wonderful life? To know that this end is guaranteed in Christ. Nothing that you do or experience on this earth will ever take that away from you. It is yours forever. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for the life that You have given to us right now in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee, Lord, for our parents. We thank Thee, Lord, for the day we are born. We thank Thee, Lord, for our weaknesses and our shortcomings, as well as our infirmities. For we know that You have made us the way that we are for a purpose, that we can shine for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For You have taught us never to measure our lives according to the abundance of the possessions that we have on this earth, but the walk and our relationship with Thee and with God, our Heavenly Father. We thank Thee, Lord, for the salvation and the hope of the resurrection that You have given to every son and daughter of the Most High God. May this be the thrill and the blessed hope that will spur us on to live a wonderful and amazing life on this earth for Christ's sake. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times and the many months and years that we have wasted in the pursuit of wood, hay, and stubble. Instead of constraining by the love of God as we serve Thee, we have been constrained by the love of the world, the love of man. Forgive us, cleanse us and wash us of all our sins, and renew our life and our zeal and our fervency and our first love, that we may spend the remaining time that we have on this earth living only for our Savior, so that by our good works, everyone around us will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. By knowing the Lord Jesus Christ better, and for others, by receiving Christ as Lord and as Savior. This is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O Lord, for all of us who are children of the Most High God. May we live the abundant life. Hear us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.